Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, it's hour two on this New Year's Eve. Happy holidays. Happy New Year's, everybody. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Will Chambers in today with Mike Bassick and Alec Medford, who I tortuously said we are going to get his thoughts on, we both did, on the Mike Asked All the Football Questions, while also asking him
phones.
To answer the phones for the Cowboys ticket giveaway.
That's a little tough.
I thought about it and I looked at it.
Bobby came in and I was like, yeah, we're good.
Okay. Now we're going to get his thoughts, and AM on the FM is coming up in a little more than 15 minutes from now, but now time to talk more Dallas Cowboys with DallasCowboys.com's Mickey Spagnuolo. Mickey, Happy New Year. What are the plans for you tonight?
Going to the Stars game.
All right. We were just talking about that.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what's going to ruin my first question with you going to the Stars game?
What's that?
How much are you going to watch of the Penn State-Boise State game, and how interested are you in Aston Jeanty possibly being a Dallas Cowboy next year?
If I wasn't going to the game, I'd certainly be watching it. And we'll probably go somewhere to find the TV during the two intermissions to catch up on what's going on. And I'll probably tape it, too, so in case I want to watch it. And I would have no problems with drafting Jeanty if indeed he was in a spot where you can get him. Yeah, absolutely. And I would have no problems with Cam Scataboo either, by the way.
That's interesting because Cam's fun to watch, and he's awesome, but he's so undersized. Do you think the Cowboys might be...
Well, he's undersized because he's not tall, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's thick.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first saw him, I thought he was a fullback, the way he ran. And then it was like, okay, I wouldn't mind having him on my team in some form or fashion. But yeah, he's not your typical NFL running back, and he probably wouldn't, you know, go until the third or fourth round, but let's see how he does tomorrow.
You know, things change in sports. You look at the teams that win and go, hey, we need to do more things like them, and who knows who's going to win the Super Bowl this year. But you look at what Barkley has done for Philadelphia, and they have a good team around him, and you look at what Derrick Henry has done for Baltimore, and they have a good team around him. And then we talk about Jeanty, who's playing tonight, and the possibility of, you know, the Cowboys sitting there at somewhere between, let's say, 12 and 15th pick and him possibly being available. Do you think that the success of Barkley and Derrick Henry is having conversations around the NFL about the importance of having a good running back?
Yeah, around the NFL? Sure. And I think a lot of it, you know, the salary cap had so much to do with, I think, some of those decisions on, you know, if you're taking a guy high in the first round or middle of the first round, can the guy be effective enough to get a second contract? Because for a while there, it seemed like the attitude was to treat it like a like you're buying a lease car. You know, you kind of use it for, what, 3 or 4 years and then get rid of it and get another new one. And a lot of the theory in the NFL is you would certainly like your first round pick to get a second contract at least. Now, if you think about how everything's changed, right, it was like, well, why would you give Zeke a second contract? Well, okay, because he was pretty good. Well, now these guys are getting, these running backs are getting second contracts, just not with the team that drafted them, right? So a little bit of a change in philosophy here, and it's only right when it works. You know, true. If you're wrong, well, that was the wrong decision. And so now, you know, revisionist history, well, why would you sign Zeke to a second contract? Well, because he was pretty darn effective on the first contract. So, you know, you can't have it both ways.
Obviously, Mick, I was never good in Major League Baseball, but I did have an agent, and I know that you don't want to tick off an agent of even a below-average player because most likely they do have above-average players on their roster, and you would like to have a good relationship with most agents.
Mm-hmm.
Is this too hardcore thinking, and I have no clue who, let's say, Aston Jenty's agent is.
But or will be, right?
Right. Well, I don't know. I think they all have agents
well,
now in
probably
college.
These days, right? Because it's done now.
Is how hard line of stance is it to tick off the player? And this is always tough because you want the player wanting to play for you. Is you draft a first-round running back and you say, well, we have a fifth-year option on you. We're using it. That's why we drafted you in the first round. And then we're going to franchise tag you for up to 2 years. That gives us 7 years of that running back where we never have to commit a long-term contract to him.
Right, yeah. And you know, when people would ask me, you know, these, you know, going into this year or whatever about Micah Parsons. And it's like, well, you know, this is going to, well, you know, can you get him? And it's like, well, if I don't want to sign him to a big long-term deal, I pick up the fifth-year option like they did, and I can franchise him again and have him for 7 years.
You know,
so I don't know, you know, how that'll go off, you know, go over when you hold out, and then yeah. You become, you know, it becomes a distraction or whatever.
Because
you could do it.
Yeah,
yes.
And I don't like this, Mick, from a former player's perspective,
yeah.
But if you wanted to be really hardcore as a general manager or president or owner, you could say, if you don't want to show up, that's fine. You're never going to get paid another dime to play football the rest of your life.
Yeah, and think about what Philadelphia did with Barkley. Because what I think gets lost is he's got so much guaranteed money that he's got a void year for like 2029, somewhere in
29,
there.
29, yeah, you're right.
And it's like 40-some million.
Yeah.
And he's not under contract. So, yeah, that's one way to afford him now, but at some point you got to pay the piper.
Yeah, and I mean, and to be fair, you know, we brought it up yesterday with you, Mickey, and right. As well as Steven, that I can mention those, what was it, 8 guys that comprise 31%, and then, you know, the Cowboys with 4. At some point, there are contracts that the Eagles have where you go, that's going to be a major problem for them down the line.
Right,
so.
And, you know, and if it works and you win, then everybody will go, well, okay, so now we're going to lose for 3 or 4 years because we've pushed money down into the salary cap when we don't have the guy. But if you win and it's like, well, was it worth it? Can I get a Super Bowl and then 3 losing seasons? So, there's a trade-off there.
So we're talking about, you know, the changes throughout the league, you know, and it's ever evolving. You know, I mean, the Giants, this was just, you know, months ago where they're like, we're not going to do that style of offense. And now look at them and look at the Eagles. It can happen just that fast. But what we have seen throughout the league and the success of these teams like Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, and then obviously Sean McVay with the Rams, Kyle Shanahan, the way that they do offenses, and I wonder, because Mike McCarthy has done a great job this year considering all that's around him. You won 12 games 3 years in a row. Everybody thinks he's a good coach, but yet Jerry, they're non-committal, and they're saying they're going to assess everything after the year. Do you think that the conversations they're going to have is maybe moving in a direction of the more innovative offenses, the different ones where Mike is, you know, still kind of in that West Coast, and maybe that's why they're going to possibly make a move in the offseason?
I don't know that that would affect the decision because, you know, if you wanted to do that and you wanted him to be your head coach, you go hire a offensive coordinator and say you're the head coach, right?
You think Mike would be willing to do that?
Well, I have no idea, you know, what would be in his mind. But some of these young guys that are doing these new offenses, it hadn't worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how lucky did Minnesota get with Darnold playing the way he is, right? No one planned on that. And so, there's a lot, you know. Remember, the Cowboys led the league last year in scoring, in points. And they had all their guys, by the way. So some of that makes a difference.
Oh, nobody scored more points, I don't think, or even had more yards since McCarthy's been coach of the Cowboys than the Cowboys.
So now you have a bad season. You had just a slew of injuries. And then you say, okay, let's blow it up and start again. But you still got the same players that have the big contracts that have to be central to this whole deal. To me, with the running backs, and consider this, with Barkley and Derrick Henry, who are their quarterbacks, and what do those quarterbacks do?
They run it.
Yeah. So now defense has got to worry not only about the running back, but also the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps those guys do what they do, because you can't just concentrate on stopping the run with the running back, and then the quarterback pulls the ball out and goes around, and you've crowded the line of scrimmage, and he gets outside, and you know he's gone. So I think the combination of those guys being with who they're with. Like, do you think if Barkley was still with the Giants, he'd be rushing for 2,000 yards?
No,
because everybody would say he's the only thing they got. We just got to stop him, right?
And so they'd be down by like 14 points at halftime.
And you have to give
time.
Up. Yeah, and you have to give up running the ball, right? So I think it's a great combination, the situation they're in. And I don't know that I always, you know, thought that way, but the more I thought about it as the season went along, it's like, well, yeah, look what these quarterbacks are running for and their ability to do that. It helps the running back, too, and then the running back helps the quarterback. So they both landed in really good situations.
Absolutely. I mean, a place where they space out defenses and have more than just the threat of them running the football. Like,
and
they
can throw
teams.
The ball, too, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's a pretty good deal.
No doubt. Hey, Mickey, thank you so much.
Go Stars.
Go yes. Stars, and have a great new year.
I will try to be safe and sound.
It sounds good. Thank you, Mick. That's Mickey Spagnola, from staff writer from DallasCowboys.com. The thing to me, though, too, I mean, because he mentions Darnold. Now, you know, lucky they are that Darnold. I look at it that O'Connell is the reason why Darnold is playing the way that he is, you know? You asked the difference maker, right?
Yeah, like, well, when I get to more football questions, because I had a Sam Darnold question, but I love where you're going here, is how much credit do you give Sam Darnold? Because it sounds like you're giving
We'll do that at 1 o'clock today.
Yeah,
I feel like the Sam Darnold hater of all these questions I have with it, but I can't help it. He's conditioned me.
I kept saying no, 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 no to him for the first 8 weeks of the season. And around week 8, he had a couple weeks that weren't very good.
Yeah, and he's gotten lot better.
It's all coming downhill. He is Sam Darnold, because this would be as crazy as, gosh, I hate saying this about the guy. Who is the guy drafted after Trevor Lawrence that maybe like liked moms a lot?
Oh, Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson. Can you imagine?
That has got to be a masterpiece of the week.
Can you imagine 3 years from now, Zach Wilson going 14-2 for a team?
Oh, my God.
That's what's happening.
I know.
That's what's happening is Zach Wilson, who we've written off, who will never be good at football ever again, all of a sudden is arguably one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL.
I know that
Sam Darnold isn't, but that's his record suggests he is.
Mike, that's got to be the question that the Cowboys are asking themselves in assessing. When Mike McCarthy got here, he said it himself. He had never had a team as talented as the Cowboys when he came in, and not a ton has changed over a 5-year period, because you can see a lot of roster turnover with a lot of teams, and we're seeing it more now, as you'd expect. But, you know, these guys, Man, they seem to be difference makers for the teams that they coach. All right, we'll do those football questions. In fact, that Darnold one. How about 1 o'clock today? But next, we've got AM on the FM. Alec, what do we got coming up?
We got the question of the day. Plus, congratulations, guys. You just found your newest favorite Texas Ranger. That's next here on the Fan.
AM on the FM. It's coming up in a matter of moments. The K&C Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Alongside Mike Bassick, I'm Will Chambers, and you can catch us on YouTube as well as Twitch today. Happy to be sitting in with you guys. It's been it was a lot of fun yesterday. Been a fast one already so far, just an hour and plus in. We'll get into some gridiron gravy coming up, of course, next in the decision on Saquon Barkley and more coming up. But now, time for some AM on the FM.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. And as Will mentioned, he has been in for the past couple of days. Thanks was for that, helping us out.
Was that me saying, Alec, that was awful?
That was Jared.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot
there
of people.
There you go. People confuse us all
There's
the time, too,
There's a lot of people
anyway.
That will text in and ask if Jared Sanor is in the building whenever you're on the air. There's a lot of people, trust me. So I'm glad you said that. That just validates everybody out there that has ever gotten you confused because you couldn't even recognize if that was you or not. But, no, it's been fun, Will, because if a lot of people, you know, don't get the chance to listen on the weekends, one, I hope you try us out. And two, that's where I got my start in hosting this radio stuff was with you and Bobby Belt on the weekends.
That's right. So the fan jam, man. We're still jamming along on the weekends, usually CA and I every Saturday morning.
And
it's
I
a lot
told
of fun.
Him. So, you know, that's the one gratifying thing about, you know, the Monday through Friday radio life is I can actually take in like every minute of the weekend content now. And it's kind of weird not being a part of it, but actually getting to enjoy it now because I'm not having to plan for
and
it
not
or anything.
And the million hours off and on all over the place.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm actually going to drive around grocery shop, take the AirPods with me inside of the grocery store, and I'm going to listen to the boys. So it's still very fun to be a part of the show, even though I'm not actually there. But we got the question of the day coming up here in just a second. Plus, congratulations, you just found your new favorite player on the Texas Rangers baseball club. But I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit, guys. It's New Year's Eve, if you didn't know. Congrats, you just woke up from living under a rock, if you didn't know. I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to phrase this in a way that will hopefully get something out of you if you're not big on it. I'm going to ask you 877-881-1053. What your New Year's resolution is, but if you're not big on those, which I'm not, I don't do them personally. I just kind of have goals that I set at different times throughout the year and whatnot. I give myself deadlines on certain things. So, like, what's something that you want to work on, something you want to change, something you want to accomplish here in the near future? 877-881-1053. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well because I've never really done the New Year's resolution, maybe younger, like as a kid or something, you know, like get better grades in school. I don't know. Whatever it may be. But, you know, I've always been a big believer of the idea that if you want to change something, if you want to accomplish something, you don't need to wait till the end of the year and the start of a new one to do that and to dictate that. I say you do it whenever you feel like you need to do it. And for me, the goalposts move depending on certain situations, you know, like the radio industry, for example, is not kind of like a quote unquote regular job where, you know, you say, okay, I'm going to get a promotion by this time or whatever. You got to wait for the next step in the food chain. Obviously, for me, it was Reggie getting a job down in Houston that helped me out there. But for me, something I want to work on is building the brand of Alec Medford and AM on the FM, and specifically through social media. I suck at social media. I really do. I'm not afraid to admit that. I want to work on growing that brand, that presence, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Twitter X, whether it's Instagram. I don't know. I need to work on it because I have too many friends, too many close friends that work in social media in promotions that can teach me all of the tricks of the trade, but I do not use them as assets. Shout out Michael Beer over at Foul Territory. Shout out to all my friends in the music industry that work in promotions and whatnot and helping tours, you know, get on the road and stuff and promote on social media. I do not use any of them to my advantage. I need to get trained up on social media on how to use that stuff the right way.
I think that resolution-wise, I mean, you're absolutely right, but what the calendar does is it just gives you a slate, right?
Sure, yeah.
I look at it like, okay, what do I want to do just this year? Not necessarily a resolution. Like, I want to do, like, okay, and I need to be better about it because it was last year where I said I wanted to learn Italian, and I started doing it, but I just didn't follow through on it. So I'm going back to being like, all right, I got to get back on that. But I think it's good to have, like, all right, this is one thing I want to do this year. I've been saying I want to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I do it. Every year I say I want to be, like, leaving on Christmas Day to go on a vacation. Like, do all the, you know, family stuff. And then, but usually everybody's just kind of, like, done, like, late morning, early afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, get on a flight, head to a beach. So I would say those would be.
Okay.
I know what mine is. You
came up with one?
I did. Because I had a 35-month streak of hitting the gold medal on Peloton and that would be 150 miles a month on your Peloton.
Oh, okay.
And I stopped that streak and I had a bad 2024 on the bike. I was not on the bike nearly as much. There was obviously getting the Rangers job, more travel, so a little less time just at home, getting home and getting on the bike. But I do have a 1 month streak right now. I have hit the gold in December. So my goal is, since we're doing New Year's resolution, I am going to get 150 miles or more every month on the Peloton. So
love
I'm
it.
Going to restart the streak. So every month, as long as I'm healthy, obviously if you get hurt and you can't get on the bike, you can't get on the bike, but I'm going to get 150 miles or more every month on my Peloton.
I like that.
I love it.
I do want to zone in on the health again, too, because that's something that's been big. Like, I still work out almost every day, but I want to get focused in on the diet, and I want to get back to running, too, because that's, like, my escapism outside of any of this is, especially during the summer, whenever it's just, like, it's beautiful outside, you're not having to deal with, like, the elements or whatever. I'm just, like, plugging the AirPods. If I have any minor inconvenience in life, lace up the shoes, go on a run at the park, down the street, and, you know, reset the mental. I want to start doing that every day again because I used to do it every day. I don't nearly anymore. I barely run, like, once a month anymore. I'm more of, like, a Stairmaster kind of guy these days just because it's indoors and the
yesterday
weather has been so weird.
Yesterday would have been a good day, too, for that.
Yes. Beautiful. Yes, it was gorgeous yesterday. I went on a walk yesterday because I did cardio in the gym. But I want to actually get out and run again. I want to do that, start training twice a day again. I did see one that I really liked here on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053 from the 757. They said, I stopped drinking in September. My goal for 2025 is to be 1 year alcohol free this coming September. I like that a lot.
Already stopped smoking and started lifting weights. Love to see that.
Well, look at that. That I see.
My life goal is on here, by the way.
What is that?
On the 469, my New Year's resolution is to hit 100 golf balls on average every day. Yeah, that's just basically where I'm trying to get to in general.
That's consistency. I tried the golf thing because my grandpa gave me his old set of clubs that he got gifted as a retirement gift. Probably like COVID when everybody was bored and didn't have anything to do.
But could go play golf.
Exactly. So I have a driving range literally like 3 minutes from my house over by Joppa Lake. And so me and the buddies went through a phase of like every single day that I was not here, we would find a mutual time to go, just go drive golf balls. And we ran into Chris Woodward there one time. That was weird. Very random. But yeah, he's definitely got a good swing on him too. It's impressive seeing what some of these former baseball players can do to a couple golf balls, but just put me and my friends to shame. So that was fun. He was right next to us and he was just like, watch this, you know, and sent one 400 feet. But that's something I would like to do again. Maybe find like a new hobby, a new sport, something athletic to get into.
Pickleball. Get after some pickleball.
I don't know if I can do that to myself. I don't know if I can do it.
Do you play tennis? You ever play tennis?
Yeah, and I was terrible. I was god awful. I still have a tennis racket in the back of my car, and I'm like, why do I have this? I'm never going to touch it again. I was terrible. was awful. So keep those coming in. The New Year's resolutions or things you would like to achieve coming up in 2025. Do have some other things we can get to as well, but I want to run this. I know the G-Bag Nation did have the newest Ranger, Jock Peterson, on yesterday. If you missed that conversation, it is up on the 105.3 The Fan website and the Odyssey app. But I want to go to a moment from his introductory presser yesterday that went a little viral on Twitter for a few different reasons within a few different fan bases. And he was talking about what appealed to him to the Texas Rangers, why he ultimately signed here. And I'm just going to forward it by saying, congratulations, you just found your newest favorite Texas Ranger.
There's a lot of things lining up for us to go on a nice run in the playoffs. I think played the Astros a couple times in the World Series, and they put together a nice little run, and it's coming to an end, and it's time for us to take over the West. And so, like I said, there's lots of things that are going in the right direction for the Rangers to be on top of this division. And I don't know, you talk to a lot of teams, they want to win the World Series and do this stuff like at the start. And I told Siwa, I mean, all we got to do is get to the playoffs. You let Bochy do what Bochy does in the playoffs, it usually comes well. And then, I mean, you add in a sprinkle of Seager in there, and next thing you know, we're all walking around with more rings.
I think I like the sprinkle of Seager line. That's probably my favorite part of that whole thing. I watched
some of the press conference. I think they were roommates in the minor leagues or roommates in spring training. So they are buddies. Jock Peterson and obviously Seager played, and they came up about at the same time through the Dodger system. So pretty good buddies. And then he grew up in the Bay Area. So I'm not sure if he was a Giants fan, but he was like, yeah, I watched the Giants win a lot of World Series under Boch.
And a lot of it was getting in. I mean, they weren't necessarily dominant regular season teams that would just get into the playoffs, and not too dissimilar from what we saw a couple years ago here.
And look, if you get into the playoffs this time, and I know last time you had DeGrom on your roster, he was hurt. If you get in and you have a healthy DeGrom and a healthy Eovaldi, that's not going to be fun for other teams. Mm-hmm. They're not going to look at those two guys and go, all right, so possibly the best stuff in baseball, and then a dude who went 5-0 in his last playoff run in Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah,
like that could be really tough.
That's another thing we'll have to get into another time when I'm in here for Baseball Nuggets. Be the relief pitching, starting pitching element of baseball. That still I'd like to get fixed a little bit.
And it's pretty well documented that Jock Peterson is a very colorful personality. He's a clubhouse guy. He's a dude. You know, he's just a dude. I think that's the best way to put it. So he started off things with a bang here with his introductory presser yesterday. So that was really fun to see. And, just see all the Astros fans instantly start whining about that, and people trying to combat the idea that the run is done and whatever. Very fun stuff there. But I will go ahead and say that he's already within my top five, if not top three favorite players off of that line alone.
Alec, out of the way Jock Peterson talks, out of the way that we all know how much the Rangers do hate the Astros, and I know a lot of teams hate the Astros, a lot of players hate the Astros, isn't it awesome that in at least right now the Texas Rangers, they have a rival and they hate them?
Yeah,
like, and they hate us too. Like, that is what makes sports really fun, is when you're like, I think that's maybe why you like college football so much, Will, is there's true hate.
Yeah.
In that, like, I don't want this team to win no matter what.
I there's nothing I hate in this world like the University of Louisville. Just in general. I mean, not the Packers as much anymore, the St. Louis Cardinals and stuff like that. It's just not, you know, maybe that just comes with age.
Yeah,
I still hate Louisville.
I think it appeals to me a little bit too, to Mike's credit, that like growing up, you know, I'm only 23, so I didn't really get to see some of those rivalries be born, and I didn't see them really get to play out, because we were just talking about it yesterday, how the NBA has softened up so much in some of these respects that outside of football, like with the Cowboys, I still get that vibe with Philly and with Washington and with New York, but outside of football, I haven't really gotten that Over the past few years, you've started to see that change a little bit with the Mavericks. You saw the back and forth with the Clippers. I mean, even with PJ Washington and Oklahoma City. You know, stuff like that. Just seeing some actual emotion in some of these matchups. You talk about the Rangers World Series run full of emotions, especially in that ALCS against the Astros. Like, I'm getting more emotionally invested, you know, as an adult than I ever was as a kid, because outside of the Mavs, you know, back and forth with the Heat, I didn't really feel that growing up. So it is really, really cool to see these players openly saying, yeah, don't really mess with those guys. So
that's nice, right. We need more fighting.
Yeah, we need more fighting.
Hey,
Joe Mazzulla said it. We ran that audio a few weeks ago, Mike, where he said on a podcast, he was like, bring back fighting, man. We're robbing the fans of entertainment. We don't have to go that far in every single sport. Just bring back hatred. I mean, you saw what it did in music this past year. Look what it can do in pro sports.
Sports hate is good.
Sports hate is good.
I'm down for the sports hate.
And that's my time. Thanks,
guys. Love it. Down for the AM on the FM. Great stuff. All right. We will get back into the discussion around what Jerry had to say this morning in regards to Mike McCarthy. There's obviously reaction to that around the league. And I think it tells me something pretty definitive as to what the Jones are doing and what they're looking at. We're going to do that as we hit the top of next hour at noon. But next, got some gridiron gravy. Saquon's decision with the Eagles, and did Dan Campbell make the right move last night by playing his starters? That's all next here on The Fan. Did Dan Campbell make the right move in playing his starters in what was ultimately a meaningless game for the Lions last night? Discuss that among other NFL topics coming up in just a moment. Top of the hour, a lot of discourse on X following the Sean and Bobby interview with Jerry Jones this morning in regards to Mike McCarthy and his future. We will discuss that at noon today. It's the KNC Masterpiece here at 105.3 The Fan. Happy New Year's, everybody. Drive fast, take chances. No, I'm just kidding. Play it safe. Be safe out there tonight.
I'll be off the roads hopefully by 6:30. One of my boys drives. The other boy, I'm like, if you ask me to come pick you up at 12:30 or whatever, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
You're spending the night.
Hey, look, we've got ways and means out there to do some things. Will Chambers, Mike Bassick here. Alec Meckford back in the Pimp Cup, and of course, Carter Freeman is coordinating your video on YouTube and Twitch. But now it's time. Let's go across the entire National Football League and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Please get an Uber.
Brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you could shield your home with Rhino Shield? Visit RhinoShieldTX.com. I'd like to thank you for doing that phonetically, by the way.
I'm here to help. Good producer, you know?
I know this is gridiron gravy, so it doesn't say NFL, but Alabama decided they don't care about football today.
We were just talking about it during the break. I take bowl games outside of playoff ones with a grain of salt. I have no idea what kind of takeaway you get. Now even more so with the transfer portal of who's there, who's not. Now, Alabama, I don't think it's going to be as affected as, you know, a lot of others being at this point, but in this particular year. But yeah, I can't decide. Everybody just kind of loves Dan Campbell, right? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and especially he is homegrown from here, went to Texas A&M, so I think there's a lot of love for the Cowboys around here.
But I mean, just he's infectious, right? He's, I think we all kind of, you know, made fun of the fact that he was talking about biting kneecaps, and he just kind of looked like this this bro that was coming in to coach, right? Some, you know, old tight end, like, what is he going to do? And yet he has created a culture, a mentality, and a character in Detroit that has gotten them to, obviously, the NFC Championship game last year and as a title contender this year. I don't mind the aggressive decisions that he makes within games and stuff, but I never liked the fact when anybody or anything in general was like, we have to do it because this is the way that we are. And what I mean by that is we are aggressive. We go for it. We're playing our starters no matter what. Why can't we just say, no, we're a very aggressive football team. We're going to go for it on fourth down, do some things, but then I'm also going to, you know, play the starters for the first half and then save them. Like, why can't we do both? I literally don't understand it.
I don't either.
I mean, did it make sense to play all his starters for four quarters last? I mean, it was a great game, right? But what are we doing here?
Going for the one seed, but that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because even if they lost, it'll still be the tiebreaker next week with Minnesota. If they beat the Vikings, then they would have the tiebreaker.
Let me throw this out. And this was a miracle run in 2007. The Giants didn't look like a very good team going into the playoffs, but they beat the 13-3 Dallas Cowboys. They end up beating the...
They looked bad the last few weeks.
18-0 New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. And they played some guys late in the year, and they ended up getting hurt. Now, they were not, like, set. They had to kind of play to get into the playoffs and everything. And they ended up, like, playing great at the end.
Against New England, I want to say, the last game of the regular season.
Yeah, and almost beat them. Is there a part of Dan Campbell that says, I don't want to lose any momentum going into, is it Sunday night football versus the Minnesota Vikings?
I totally get that.
I'm trying to throw out reasons why you're like, I don't want to lose this momentum we've possibly gained.
I agree. My thinking would be you don't lose momentum if you start pulling guys in the second half. You know? I think Troy at one point...
They just want to keep the winning spirit. Then they did win, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, they came back to win. They played really well. My concern would be running out of gas, you know? Take it where you can kind of get it, because if they lose to Minnesota next weekend, then you don't have the week off, right? We only got one bye now.
Yeah.
So
that's why I think the Cowboys are going to win Sunday.
Yeah,
I think
probably.
Washington's going to sit out.
Yeah, I mean, anytime throughout a season that you can get your guys some extra rest, you kind of want to do that because everybody's banged up. Everybody's just gone through a very physical season. So I just kind of question it, but more so on the why do we not adjust like a little bit here and there? It's almost like a stubbornness. Like, no. Like,
that's exactly
you could still be what you are. It doesn't change it by pulling back a little bit with your stars.
Coaches don't realize that in today's game. You see it with Mike McCarthy all the time. Like, I feel like he hasn't changed since Aaron Rodgers was his quarterback. It's the same way with Dan Campbell. He said it in his pregame interviews and his pressers. He was like, we're going out there to the West Coast to win this football game. Why? Because he is a giant meathead that does believe in all of those things. And it's totally fine by me.
You can tell I was looking for meathead and I couldn't find it, could you?
Yeah. And again, good producer. I'm here to help you out.
Thank you.
But there's a lot of coaches nowadays that have, I guess I'll say the ego of the players, you know, where they want to send a message. They want to be in the headlines. They want people like us to talk about that after the game and say, what a guy, you know, star of the game. Didn't even put on any pads or a helmet.
And I love it that the players think that way too and allow them to think that way and be like, yep, we get it, but you're going to sit down.
Exactly.
You know, that takes us into topic number two, where Philadelphia Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni hasn't decided whether or not to, you know, play his running back who has a chance to break one of the all-time records in sports. You know, this is, and I think that matters. Do you guys agree?
Yes.
That it's this particular one?
I get if it was, I don't know, most receptions. Like, I'm just like from a
receiving. We don't even know what that number is.
I know, but like, I guess if it was receiving yards or rushing yards or passing yards, I get how that would be a very big deal to the individual and somewhat maybe a big deal to the players. Maybe those offensive linemen for Philadelphia are like, hey, I don't know who the linemen were for the 84 LA Rams. But like, I'm sure they take a lot of pride.
Absolutely. They do for sure.
In that number. And in fact, I think you're going to hear Eric Dickerson come out and congratulate Saquon Barkley if he breaks a record, but he's going to say, I did it in 16 games. He did it in 17.
Well, yeah. Well, he better not, because you know what? He broke, I believe, OJ's, and OJ did it in 14.
Yeah.
So you better check yourself, Eric. Now, I was going to ask, do you guys know, and then in my brain, I'm like, oh, yeah, I do know immediately, who has the all-time receiving yards in a season?
I don't know.
You
is
don't?
It, is
okay.
It is it the Viking?
I think it's Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson.
It's Calvin,
okay.
Right?
You'll know. I don't. I'm taking a guess.
Okay, so that was really what I was saying.
Is it a recent record?
Everybody knows it's Dickerson.
Yes.
That's always been the chase.
Yeah.
So I look at it and I go, man, that's really tough. I mean, as a fan, I'd like to see him go for it. I'd like to see him get it. Especially just sticking it to the Giants, having, you know, played them. But Sirianni says that he's going to talk to everyone in the organization, including owner Jeffrey Lurie, before making that call. Hold Nick. I wonder what that really means. I mean, I could see him being like, he talked to literally everybody. Like, you know, equipment guys, just everybody. What do you think? What do you think? And then he'll talk about it. I could just see it.
That Sirianni's asking the equipment guy?
Yeah. When he says everyone in the organization, like I'm literally talking to everybody in the organization.
I'm assuming he's talking to the owner, president, GM, and maybe his coaching staff.
Yeah, he says, I'll talk to our staff. I'll talk to the players. I'll talk to Howie. I'll talk to Mr. Lurie. I'll talk to everybody to try to make sure I'm making the best decision for the football team.
No, he won't. He's such a loser. He has such a big ego. He wants to have his name associated with that record. I'm telling you that right now. If ownership comes down and says, don't get our running back hurt before the playoffs, then he's going to listen. I guarantee that. But if
he gets fired, I would listen too. If he's like, you're not playing him.
Exactly.
Like that's the end. Like, because your job is now on the line if you do.
But exactly. I wonder their mentality too. And I can't help but also think that this is all occurring in Philadelphia with a Philadelphia team.
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing for the LA Rams to have, you know, with Dickerson. That's an iconic, I mean, we can all still picture in our heads, or at least us of a certain age, of Eric Dickerson in that Rams uniform and, you know, with the highlights of him, running and getting that record. So would they want that as well for their organization?
Yep.
I don't know. That is a tough one right there. And then finally, we've got Kyle Shanahan, according to 49ers brass, their ownership, both he and John Lynch, and that being Jed York, the owner, they're not going anywhere. You can write that for sure. He told the Standard before the game Monday against the Lions, they're not going anywhere. So thusly crushing the hopes of any team out there or fans of a team that may trade.
I know we were up against it. You were not on San Francisco, like as in you said they weren't going to make the playoffs. You were correct about that. Do you still think they would have had the same fate if McCaffrey would have been healthy? As we talk about running backs carrying teams, we can kind of see recently that McCaffrey's kind of carried that team a little bit.
Yeah.
They have a great team around him. I'm not taking anything away, but
no,
they definitely missed him.
That was part of it. And I could have been proven wrong, you know, had he stayed healthy. But it was, if you look at that team, the offensive line is not all that good outside of their left tackle. They were already missing Dre Greenlaw. Did Dre come back? Yeah, he came back. That's right. They had that little controversy a few weeks ago. But he was out for the majority of the season. And they're an older team that had played a lot of games in the last 3 to 5 years. Well, really, 5 years. Kansas City, the other team that's like that, is a lot younger. So I didn't think it would affect them as much.
So good job by the Cowboys of recent years by destroying the 2024 49ers by you kept losing to the 49ers.
Yeah, just keeping them going. Yeah. You thusly just kind of...
Yeah, eventually you wore down the 49ers and they couldn't make the playoffs by you losing every time in the playoffs to them.
Can the Cowboys win in the playoffs with Mike McCarthy? That is the ultimate question, is it not? That's where we go as we open up hour 3 of the KNC Masterpiece next on The Fan.